This story was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. If you have a retirement account, an IRA, and it's not in Bitcoin, maybe think about rolling it over to an Unchained IRA. Bitcoin's the best money. You want your long-term retirement savings in the best money. Unchained makes that possible. Go to unchained.com/RHR. Check out their calculator. Set up a call with their signature team. Roll that IRA over into Bitcoin and sleep peacefully. Unchained.com/RHR. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. If you have friends, family members who are newbies, they still have their Bitcoin in the exchange, help them take the first step off the exchange. BitKey makes it very easy. It's a hardware device that has a multi-sig. You have the hardware device has a key. Your mobile phone app has a key. And Block has a key in the cloud. They've designed this with trade-offs to make it very hard to lose Bitcoin. Easy to use, hard to lose. Go to bitkey.world. Use the code RHR or RHR20 at checkout to get a discount. Not sure exactly which one it is yet. Try both. Go check it out. bitkey.world. Try RHR or RHR20. This rip is also brought to you by CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best Bitcoin hardware in the world. If you're an individual, a business, you're looking to secure your Bitcoin with single sig, multi-sig, check out the suite of cold cards, the MK4, the Q. They're the most secure. They've got two secure elements. You can create your private public key pairs offline, and the device just keeps getting better. I love the Q. I use the Q. It's a great device. Use the code RHR for 5% off at checkout. Go to coinkite.com. Check out all their products, not just the MK4 and the Q. Check out the Block Clock, Sats Guard, Tap Signer. Check it all. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
A little pre-noon rip here, sir.
Yo, yo, yo.
Dirty hands, clean money. Love that hat. It's one of my favorite of yours.
Dude, I ran into a trucker yesterday who like pulled over and just started yelling out of his truck. And he was like, same hat.
Really?
I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And then he started waving the hat outside the window. It's hilarious.
Is that a Bitcoin hat?
No, it's like for like oil workers.
Okay. Hell yeah.
It's like it's a clothing company that only serves blue collar workers.
So is this stolen valor right here? Is this what this hat? You wearing this hat?
I mean, it fits Bitcoin really well. It's no, because it's not stolen valor, because if you go and buy the hat, it supports blue collar workers. Like it's like Tom's shoes for blue collar workers. If you buy a hat, they don't give a hat. They give some kind of donation.
That's a bit of a stretch there. I think it's stolen valor. What do we name this?
Borrowed valor.
What do we name this?
I named it Bitcoin Dreams.
Bitcoin Dreams. I like that.
Yeah.
Why are you feeling dreamy today?
Because you called for a super cycle, and this so far is the worst cycle we've ever had.
I thought it was going to be something. I thought it was going to be something like we're dreaming for a better world.
That too. It has multiple meanings.
Okay.
It's a multifaceted title.
Okay. It's good to know. Good week. Cold here in Austin, Texas. It's 42 degrees here today. Not happy about
Logan, is that you in the Noster live chat?
That is me.
Asking if the chat is working. It is working. I see it.
I have an alternate account on the browser on the computer here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we should start off with that. Poor Kieran. Did you see what happened to Kieran?
I did not. What happened to Kieran?
Kieran of Zapstream. I guess one of his servers failed and he didn't have a backup since last year. But props to him. He got Zapstream back up within like 4 days. But he's going through like a bit of a cluster over there. So I just wanted to vocally give him my support and tell him we're all behind him and he'll get through it.
A problem manifested by his own success? Did it fail because so many people were using Zapstream?
No, I don't think so. I think to be clear, he fucked something up. He posted on Nostr. He's like, I fucked up, guys.
It's okay, Kieran.
He lost everyone's balances. There was, I think, 10 million sats across all of his different projects. I had to reconfigure our settings to make sure that we streamed to Zapstream today. And I was going to refill our balance, and it looks like he just credited us money.
Wait, did he have to eat that 10 million sat?
He doesn't even know. It's really fucked. He doesn't know how much everyone had.
Oh, dang. All right, Kieran. Lessons learned. That's an expensive one. That's a 10K, 9.7K lesson. But it's an incredible product. We're using it. We're getting zapped right now. Shout out to Drew. 21,480 sats. We got numbers. Bitcoin in space too. 21,000 sats. Testing out the new limits. Just re-listen to the classic TFTC with American HODL and someone say eternal riches and big titty bitches on air. I just said it.
Oh shit. We're going to be removed from the radio.
We've got dreams. We've got Bitcoin dreams, eternal riches and big titty bitches. You know, we're dreaming today on the show, boys and girls. Stuff going on in the world. Trump administration keeps rolling. I've got a funny meme that we're going to show later. It's not even a meme. It's literally a picture.
Can you show it now?
Yeah.
Don't pre-announce memes.
Like, are we being punked? I think we have to ask a serious question. Are we, like, do we live in a simulation? Are we being punked? I almost grabbed the link from X, and I know not to do that anymore. We go to Primal. I grabbed the link from there and I'll share it. But like, this is obviously Doge.
Mad 21, sub freaks, 21,210 sats. Thank you, sir.
I'm going to call it. I think this may be peak, bro. I think this may be peak clown world. I'm sure you've seen this.
I thought this was fake news.
It's not. It's real. And so here's the tweet for anybody listening at home.
But I had to verify. Did you go and double check?
Yes, I quadruple checked. Not to be insensitive.
This is not a meme. This is just reality.
This was on Capitol Hill yesterday. This guy works for an NGO. What is it called? The Project on Government Oversight and Government Affairs. He's the Government Affairs Director. So the Project on Government Oversight exists to audit government agencies. It's a separate non-government organization that's supposed to audit these government agencies and make sure that they're not mishandling taxpayer money. And the gentleman who was set to testify on behalf of this NGO yesterday on Capitol Hill, I'll just read the tweet from Rod Schmidt here. Not to be insensitive, but it's beyond ironic that the Democrats' witness defending the government's horrific record of finding waste and fraud is an actual blind man. He's not wearing sunglasses on the Hill to be cool. It's because he has deficient eyes and has to wear glasses because he's blind and he's tasked with finding government waste, looking for government waste and corruption, excuse me. And I don't want to, we're not anti-blind people here, but
hilarious.
How can you find the corruption if you literally can't even see it?
It's just fucking hilarious.
Like, are we, like, do we live in a simulation? Are we being punked?
I literally thought it was fake news. Hopefully we don't live in a simulation. I don't think we do, but hopefully we don't.
I don't think we do either. But it is funny. And again, if there was going to be a peak, this picture may be peak clown world.
Does proof of work exist in a simulation? Like, why do we do this podcast every fucking week if it's a simulation? It would be funny if we just got simulation pilled and just ended Rabbit Hole Recap.
Well, if it's a simulation, we don't have any agency, right? It's like people.
That's my take. I think there's arguments that you could have agency within a simulation.
Is there?
Which is a little bit more positive.
Well, that's like the Matrix, right? Like they found a way to get agency. You had to have the people from Zion.
But outside of the simulation.
Yeah.
Inside the simulation, they didn't have agency.
Unless Morpheus came to you and said, Neo, wake up. You're in the Matrix. Take the red pill.
Stay humble, stack sats.
No, Neo, what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I can't believe that is pretty crazy. Why did he even testify? Like, he should have just resigned and just had someone else testify.
And I want to be, this man's name is Dylan Hedler, and he's the ire of a lot of jokes this week, and I feel bad for him. I don't want to denigrate his inability to see, but come on. I'm sure maybe he's a good guy. I don't know. But if you're looking for merit-based
hiring, I mean, presumably, the steel man is.
Is he like brailing through all the documents? What's happening here?
Like, look, I think we can objectively state that anyone who was in charge of oversight of waste and fraud did a horrible fucking job if they weren't just straight corrupt, because there's a shit ton of waste and fraud in our government. That said, if you're talking about that kind of role, it's probably more of a managerial role, right? And he could have a bunch of talented, in an efficient way, like if the org was actually working well, he could have a bunch of talented people that are actually going through everything. And then he's just more of a manager, like the top guy. Like, presumably the top guy wouldn't actually be like going through a bunch of papers. That's my generous steel man.
Yeah, sir. He literally can't verify. He has to trust.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm being ableist here. That's on me. I'm sorry.
But I mean,
psych, woke culture's over. This is crazy. Yeah.
Like, if he could read the document that was given to him, like, who wrote the document? Like, if the document was written in Braille versus regular text, like, does that change?
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, he's clearly done a horrible job, regardless. And it's fucking hilarious. It is insane that the person in charge of government oversight. I don't know. Is he the person in charge of government oversight? Like, how important is this organization? Do they just
an NGO? Yeah.
Game?
Well, they're getting money.
Like, they're not actually.
That's the thing.
They sound like they're a government organization, but they're not.
Yes. They're a non-government organization.
Most non-government organizations are funded by government. Yeah.
Yeah. So they get money from the government to audit the government. It's very.
Okay. Very, well, I'm glad we started off with that. It's important to have our Bitcoin dreams topped out of all this bullshit.
Yeah, we're dreaming. Blind people can dream too. Moving on, Clark's dashboard. Let's get to the meat of what we come here week in and week out for, which is Bitcoin. Current price of Bitcoin is 95,620 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck is going to get you 1,046 sats. We're at a $1.9 trillion market cap. We're currently at block height 883,604, which means we are 1,420 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which as of right now, and we've got a good amount of data. We're 600 blocks into this epoch. So that's a good amount of data. Looking like a negative 4.1% difficulty adjustment. Blocks have been coming in at 10 minutes and 27 seconds on average. Clark's mempool, 20,575 transactions. We go over to mempool.space. Their mempool is right around the same, 20,593 transactions. Quite equal. Mempool still relatively empty. However, fees not as low as they were last week. If you have a high priority transaction, you're going to want to attach a 7 sat per V byte transaction. Excuse me, fee to your transaction, medium or low priority, 6 sats per V byte. That is the state of the network. Hash rate has been obviously looking like a lower, a downward difficulty adjustment next time, but I believe we almost hit 1 zeta hash temporarily within a 24-hour period last week.
Well, it's hard to measure, right? It's a derived metric.
Yeah.
We're probably over it already.
And pool.space was deriving 981 exahash per second on February 1st. So 2 weeks ago.
Almost. Supposedly the Zap stream is lagging. I'm looking at, how's the YouTube stream going? People in the YouTube comments, how's the YouTube stream going? I'm guessing Kieran is probably working right now to make sure the Zap stream is better.
Is Kieran in a server farm somewhere plugging in? Nobody in YouTube's complaining. Doesn't seem like
it. Yeah, no one's complaining, but also no one is letting us know it's good. I think YouTube has like a 30-second delay. So maybe they'll tell us.
Neil's saying it's good. We're good. We're getting thumbs up. Thank you, Queen.
Awesome. Thank you, Neil. Ride or die.
All right, on to the meat.
And Weirdo Robot says YouTube is fine, but he's saying that in the Zap stream. Thank you. Thank you, Weirdo.
On to the list. Tight rip today. We've got things to do. Big release. We've been talking about this. They were in beta for quite some time. Proton Wallet is now available to all users on Android, iOS, and web. This is a big deal. Proton, the parent company of Proton Mail, Proton VPN, Proton Calendar, now is Proton Wallet. And so this is a Bitcoin wallet built on BDK that is now available to millions of users out of the box, which is pretty massive.
Yeah, they claim 100 million users. There's no way to verify that claim, but regardless, massive validation for Bitcoin. They built it on BDK, the open source project led by Steve Myers, who runs our BitDevs in Nashville. Really cool to see, really great interface. I think it's a great way for new coiners to start using Bitcoin in a self-custody way. Obviously, it's strictly better to use cold storage for long-term savings where your keys are not connected to an internet-connected computer. This is a hot wallet. I know they plan on adding support for hardware wallets so that you can migrate to cold storage as your balance gets bigger. So I'm very optimistic and excited about that. I have worked pretty closely with their team in terms of them rolling this out, and their team is great. Their priorities seem to be in the right place. So really fantastic to see. A lot of people are asking for Lightning support. They're being very deliberate on how they roll out Lightning. They do not want to rely on a custodian, and they definitely do not want to be a custodian themselves. So if they do implement Lightning, it's going to be in a self-custody way. And anyone who's tried to implement Lightning with good UX in a self-custody way has known there's many, many pain points. So that's why Lightning is not supported yet. And on-chain fees are quite cheap, so they have some time to figure that out.
And we have a listener in the Zap.stream asking, can Proton seed be reused on other wallets? And yeah, download a seed for it.
Don't do that, though. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you need to recover. Yeah, they use a standard seed phrase format. So you can, if like Proton goes out of business or something, you can recover somewhere else. Yeah. That was a key priority for them.
Prerequisite to launching the product.
Yep.
Shout out to the Proton.
And they have, you know, it's, if you're sending to another Proton user, you can just do it with their Proton email address. And if you send to a non-Proton user, it'll basically send them a request to create a wallet. And so you can send Bitcoin using email addresses, which is a convenient UX feature. And they tried to do that in as much of a privacy-focused way as possible. They basically have a separate wallet that they derive addresses from so that they're not aware of your other addresses.
Yeah. We've got somebody who works for us at TFTC who wants to get a portion, who has been paid a portion of his paycheck in Bitcoin, and he's been using Phantom Wallet. And he's been reusing addresses using Phantom Wallet. He came from like the shitcoin world. We're gonna forgive, not forget, but forgive.
Do you pay him in Solana meme coins?
No.
You pay him in Trump token?
Jailstool. I'm a big Dave Portnoy meme coin guy now.
You really fucked up that Portnoy onboarding.
I didn't do, no, don't, we've already talked about this. You can't blame Portnoy's degeneracy on me. He was born that way. There's nothing I can do.
Just a little bit. Like 5% is your fault.
But
to the freaks that don't know, Phantom Wallet is one of the most used wallets in the world, self-custody wise, but it's focused on the Solana ecosystem. So it has really bad Bitcoin support. The most used wallets in the world are Trust Wallet and Phantom Wallet. Trust Wallet is maintained by Binance, also a shitcoin-focused wallet, and Phantom Wallet is a Solana-focused wallet.
Yeah. Reason I bring it up, I was able to text him this morning. We use Proton Mail for the company email addresses at TFTC. I was like, all right, I'll go and set up a Proton wallet, and I'm not going to send you Bitcoin to Phantom Wallet anymore. It's not allowed at this company. And it's
very that's easy. A perfect example of a use case there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you literally just put in his Proton email and then press send, and then he gets a,
and we're working. He's got a link. He's got a cold card queue. I'm going to help him set that up and teach him how to send it to cold storage, but baby steps. And point I brought it up, Proton wallet being available to everybody makes it very easy for us at TFTC to transition people to better Bitcoin wallets. So shout out to the Proton team.
If you run a company like TFTC that hires shitcoiners, it could be very useful for you. Is what Marty's trying to tell you.
Reformed shitcoiners. Next up on the list, Primal version 2.1 has been released with the Nostra Wallet Connect support for Primal wallet and web app. This has been massive since Albi had to transition away from their product to having to plug in your own wallet. It was just too much for me. And zapping on web with Primal has been a headache. I've had to like create an invoice and pay for my phone. Being able to easily go into premium, hit the wallet setting, just connect my Primal wallet that I set up on my phone using Nostra Wallet Connect has made it easier. Now I can just click and zap from my Primal wallet.
So there's two things here. First of all, when I'm using social, I prefer using web over phone, right? And Primal has had this web interface for a while, but the biggest issue with it was you couldn't easily zap using the web wallet, using the web app. So now if you just go to primal.net on your regular computer, zaps are enabled. And as Marty said, there's actually two ways you can do that. First of all, what's really cool is you can connect any other wallet besides Primal. So any other wallet that supports Nostra Wallet Connect, which is a way for wallets to integrate with apps, communicating over the Nostra protocol. So on both Primal Web and Primal Android now, you can use any wallet. You're not locked in on the Primal wallet, which I think is really important from a user choice perspective. On iOS, you don't have that capability because they keep blocking us on the App Store in terms of getting that capability. Hopefully, we'll be able to add that in the future as the user base grows. And then the second piece is if you already have Primal Wallet, which is a custodial wallet but works incredibly well. If you already have Primal Wallet, you can easily connect it to any other app. So if you're using Olas, which is Pablo's Instagram-like app, or if you're using Coracle, or if you're using Domus, or if you're using Amethyst, any Nostra Wallet Connect-enabled app can now easily, with a few clicks, use the Primal Wallet for zapping, which is just awesome. This is the beauty of open protocols. This is the beauty of giving user choice and flexibility in how they interact with these apps. And it's a perfect example of something that's just not capable, is not possible in traditional walled garden tech. This empowers users way more than anything you see in the proprietary big tech world.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the fascinating things to watch play out is as X is rolling out X payments in parallel to the Nostra ecosystem maturing and becoming more robust. I think that's like when X launches payments and it'll probably work and it'll be cool for the people that are on X. But I think that launching in parallel to this ecosystem being built out on Nostra through all these different clients, wallets, Nostra Wallet Connect, I think it's going to become glaringly obvious at some point in the next year or two when those are both in the wild in parallel, that the user experience, the interoperability, and the ability to opt out, opt in to all this stuff is a far superior user experience at the end of the day. So that's a trend to pay attention to over the next year, freaks.
100%. I think it will hopefully become glaringly obvious to users. And I would also say, I work pretty closely with Million and the rest of the Primal team, and it's very important to the entire team to not lock in users, to give users as much choice as possible with how they use the apps. So I think people seem to be most excited about using the Primal wallet in other apps, like being able to easily zap in Domus using Primal wallet. But I'm particularly very excited about the fact that you can use any NWC enabled wallet like cashew.me in the Primal web app and on Android.
Dude. All right. I mean, and just, well, while we're talking about this interoperability user experience, you don't have it on the list, Logan. I just threw it in Signal, pop it up. Software update, but we're going to talk about it because it's cool and applicable to what we're actually doing right now. Fountain version 1.1.16 is live in iOS or Android, and they've integrated live streaming via Zap.stream. So,
huge shout out to Oscar. I don't know. I mean, the ride or die freaks remember, Marty remembers. It was like 5 weeks ago where the freaks were asking for podcasting 2.0 support for us to stream to podcasting 2.0 enabled apps. So I was like, no, they should just enable our Nostra stream.
Oscar
grinded it out, man.
This is sleek too. I'm opening, like, I'm watching.
Love to see it.
It's a little RHR inception here. I'm watching ourselves live on Fountain.
Dude, and it is a very clean integration. So well done, Oscar and team. So yeah, now you can watch our live streams directly in the Fountain app, which is fucking awesome.
It's sick.
It has the full Nostr live chat integration. It has Nostr zaps, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, we've been talking about this behind the scenes. I mean, it's going to be the Donald Trump being president, Elon Musk being part of Doge, the corruption being unearthed in the government, and this environment of sort of overt posturing, like censorship's done, freedom of speech is here, we're going to do things differently. It does give X somewhat of an advantage due to the user base it already has and is leveraging, and the attention around it due to Elon's involvement with the government. And going back to what we were saying about X payments versus Nostr Wallet Connect and the optionality there, like, despite all the attention on X and the tailwinds that it seems to have at its back with this current Trump administration, like, I don't think they're going to be able to compete on user experience. Like, that was a magical being able to open up Fountain. I'm like, oh shit. Just because we put,
yeah, no permission required. Same chat, zaps, same stream. We're going to make an exception here, Oscar. Supposedly we're only supposed to read zaps now that are over 21,000 sats, but Oscar is in the live chat, and he zapped 10,000 sats and said, tuning in live, thanks for the shout out. Still a few quirks, but getting there. Please share feedback. All feedback is appreciated. Marty, to your point, like, Elon's clearly having his moment. X is having their moment right now. Vibes are high, momentum strong over there. I think the best way for us to look at it here is this is a good situation to be in. We have what appears to be at least a 4-year reprieve in terms of government forced censorship. Now, I say that loosely, like, there will still likely be censorship, but there is a reprieve here. The pressure is a little bit off in terms of both Bitcoin and Nostr and other open protocols. And we should be taking this time to build this stuff out because it will likely not always be that way.
Yeah. Let's get building, freaks. Get building. I'm excited. Let's go. We should do 11 a.m. rips more often. I took some creatine before I hopped in here.
There we go.
The neurotransmitters are firing. And we got governments.
In my coffee.
Oh, dude. Matt is completely saw the earth pilled these days.
Yeah, use code TFTC for 15% off. Marty gets paid for it. I don't get paid for it, but it's amazing.
I'll send you some sats. The
dude, I can't like live without this without these electrolytes.
You're gonna get to the point where you get to, you have 1 month where you forget to reorder and you're without it for like 3 days and you're like, I'm never forgetting to reorder again.
I'm the most hydrated in my life. It has completely changed my life. It's phenomenal. Salt of the earth. And also to your point, by the way, like the way we win is better functionality and better user experience. Like most people do not care about free speech or algorithmic choice or, you know, even verifiability, right? Even being able to check that every message is signed and real. So they don't really care about trust minimized aspects. They don't really care about censorship resistant aspects. They might not even care that much about the user choice aspects and the user empowerment aspects. But if we give them better UX and better functionality, they will come in droves. And I think that's how we win.
Yeah, agreed. Oscar getting some flowers in the live chat. Pseudo Carlos checking it out. This integration is fire. We're going to win, freaks. We're going to win. And you know we're going to win because when the governments are scared and they think that the people in the market is gathering power to tear into their tyranny, they begin fighting back. And the UK is doing just that. The UK government orders Apple to create backdoor for encrypted iCloud accounts worldwide. I guess it's funny. Has Apple responded to this yet?
So my understanding is this happened a little bit ago and Apple's not allowed to talk about it because they're under a gag order.
Are they?
And I don't know how we found out about it, but I don't think we were supposed to find out about it.
But we know about it. Enforced silence.
How do we find out about it? Does it say how we found out about it? Sources told the Post.
So the British government's undisclosed order issued last month requires blanket capability to review fully encrypted material, not merely assistance in cracking a specific account, and has no known precedent in major democracies, writes the Washington Post. Using technical capability.
Yeah, it looks like it was
notices.
A whistleblower, like an anonymous whistleblower to the Washington Post. That's the only reason we know about it.
So Tim Cook texted Bezos, was like, yo, you got to get this out, sir. Would not be shocked if that's happened.
Yeah, Tim texts Jeff, yo, I'm anonymous source. Check this out.
Using technical capability notices to weaken encryption around the globe is a shocking move that will position the UK as a tech pariah rather than a tech leader. If implemented, the directive will create a dangerous cybersecurity vulnerability in the nervous system of our global economy, said Meredith Whitaker, president of Signal. And some more context here. This is from John Scott Railton. Looks like it's coming from Noster. Enforced silence among the more pernicious parts of the secret demand. Apple would be forbidden from telling users that backdoor had been introduced into iCloud's advanced data protection. Big picture, the public really doesn't realize it, but cloud backups of phones are constantly used for surveillance, huge privacy and encryption gap. By introducing optional advanced data protection, Apple extended similar protections of device encryption to users' clouds. That's from JSR.
JSR is using Noster now. His organization often gives reports and fines 0 days on both Apple devices and Android devices. The dude's a fucking legend. And I may or may not have personally bullied him into using Noster more. So it's good to have him on Team Noster.
He's a great man. Great man.
But yeah, Apple's set up in a way, at least they claim they're set up in a way, there's no way for us to verify it, that they can't actually provide this backdoor information. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I will say you did read a quote there from Meredith Whitaker, who leads Signal now. She's a great spokesperson for end-to-end encryption and why we need it. I'm very grateful we have her in our corner because she does a way better job than most people would in terms of fighting with policymakers and news anchors about this very important issue.
Yeah. And as it pertains to the iCloud backup and the privacy assurances, I actually just recorded with Carl Dong, Bitcoin Core developer and founder of Obscura, a new VPN that launched. But we talked quite a bit about the primitives of Apple's cloud, and they have this two relay system that sort of breaks the ability, you know, like the first hop knows
that's their VPN where it's coming from. Product.
Yes. Yeah. This is Obscura, but they're leveraging something that Apple's iCloud team developed, which is this relay hop. And it was actually.
No, yeah. So Apple, separately from iCloud, Apple has something that they offer to iCloud premium users called Private Relay, which is effectively a two hop VPN.
Okay.
And is very similar to what Obscura has launched out to the public. So Obscura, which everyone should listen to Marty's interview with Carl, is now officially released only on Mac right now. And what Obscura is doing is they have a partnership with MOVAT. So MOVAT controls one hop, Obscura controls the other hop, and they cannot see how you're using the VPN unless they both collude together, which gives you a strictly better privacy guarantee than if you use a VPN that is just a single hop. If you use a hosted VPN that's just a single hop, which is how most VPNs work, it's a strictly a trust relationship. There's no way for you to verify that they're not logging everything you're doing. And by the way, that's one of the things that's really cool about this is that he chose MOVAT because MOVAT does have a very long, strong reputation in the VPN space, which is basically all you can go off of in terms of which VPN provider you want to choose.
Yeah. You can pay in Lightning, which adds to the privacy. You have very good center privacy on the Lightning network. So it's a great way to interact with a VPN, set up account. And Carl mentioned it on the TFTC podcast. A lot of their design decisions, particularly on the payment front, were inspired by MOVAT. And his hope is that this two hop system becomes the standard in the VPN world. MOVAT's the first partner, but he mentioned they've open sourced everything and they hope others implement their WireGuard implementation and do this two hop system.
Yeah, I mean, we're close. So Apple has their two hop system. Both MOVAT and Proton have two hop systems as well. They just control both hops, which, you know, doesn't give you as strong privacy guarantees if obviously different parties controlled both hops, but it does go through different servers. So if an individual server is compromised, you have the benefit of the other one. So the VPN industry has been slowly moving in this direction, which is good to see. Obscura will hopefully push them even further. And then there's something else there that is a little bit above my pay grade, but how Obscura encrypts packets makes it harder to detect that you're using a VPN in the first place. So it can get around a lot of VPN blocks. I do wonder, like I said, this is past my pay grade, but I do wonder if it's used more widespread if, you know, adversaries start to figure that out. I don't know if it's just because it's new and obscure, if that's how they're able to get around it.
I downloaded it, been using it on my laptop this week. It's really fast. The performance is noticeably better, which has been nice.
We have Soap Miner with 21,000 sats in the Noster live chat. I'm still learning, but I freaking love Noster. We are going to win. Just have to keep building. Also on a side note, Marty said he was going to use my soap. He hasn't done so yet. Does he bathe, Matt?
I do bathe. I shower. I actually don't bathe. I shower. Is shower a form of bathing?
Yes. I've used the soap. It's great soap. Highly recommend.
I haven't used the soap yet. I don't think I promised I was going to use it, but if you're zapping us 21,000 sats, Soap Miner, maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll try it. All right, on to the HRF story of the week coming from the Central African Republic, which launches a meme coin experiment. This is, God damn it. We're at the stage of the cycle where the governments are launching meme coins. The Central African Republic, or CAR, debuted a government-backed meme coin. Hashtag CAR, which President Faustin Archange Touadéra claims will unite people and support national development. In reality, meme coins are speculative assets that often serve as vehicles for insider profit. The scheme follows CAR's failed Sango coin project, which promised citizenship and land in exchange for locked investments, but sold only 7.5% of its supply. Those who did buy in did not receive what was promised. In 2022, Carr briefly made Bitcoin legal tender, calling it a path to sovereignty, only to abandon it shortly after. Instead of supporting open and neutral money like Bitcoin, the government has turned to dubious crypto schemes. The real beneficiaries of Carr appear to be the regime insiders who reportedly cashed out $40 million while the public holds worthless tokens. That was one of the spicier stories coming from the Human Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report. If you want to sign up and learn more about stories like this, go to financialfreedomreport.org. Hit your inbox every Thursday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately Trump has set a precedent here, and we're going to see more and more of this meme coin bullshit. But it's mostly noise, and you can safely ignore it and stay humble and stack sats about it, I think.
I think so.
But it's a shame to see governments and people in power or influence, even someone like Dave Portnoy, scam their audiences and scam their citizens. And by the way, Portnoy, like, just claiming it's all a joke is the biggest cop out in the world. You can't just like scam people and be like, oh, I'm just joking around. It's all fun and games.
I'm not going to name who. I'm not going to dox the person, but one of my former coworkers at Barstool texted me late on Saturday night and was like, how do I get into Portnoy's meme coin? Like, it's Dave. It's going to run. And I literally texted him. I was like, this isn't my game. I don't know. And he was like begging me. He's like, what do I do? I was like, I don't know. I got a Pump.Fun or Find Phantom. I think that's how they're getting into it these days. And I warned him. I said,
They do it all through Phantom Wallet.
I was like,
if you wanted to know.
I was like, when you have the urge to buy a meme coin, just buy this stack Bitcoin. And this was literally Saturday when the price of the meme coin was running. I was like, don't do it. He's like, it's Dave. He's got to deal with the devil. Like, it's going to go to the moon. I was like, don't do it. Literally figured out how to buy. I think he smash bought that night, woke up the next morning, was down 80%.
It's an expensive lesson, but
it was, I think it was a very expensive lesson. All my former Barstool coworkers out there, I've been consistent for 8 years. I told you back then, I prevented Barstool from launching an ICO. I got pulled into like an email thread with one of their investors. Like, should we launch an ICO? I was like, God, you can't even run a WordPress website. Why are you going to launch an ICO? It's not going to look good. And luckily they listened to my advice then.
The unfortunate reality is that most people have to touch the stove. You either stay humble or get humbled. I've lost my favorite of coin on stupid shit. That's how you learn. That's how people learn. It's not like I came out of the womb and was like, just, we got to stay humble about things. Like, you get humbled over time and you figure it out. Some people fortunately get to avoid that process, but most won't, and most have to touch the stove.
Yeah. They avoid that by coming to Rabbit Hole Recap first. So if you have anybody listening, just send them to us. If you're overwhelmed, just send them to us.
But yeah, the Barstool guys, tell them to join Nostr. Like, if they join Nostr, that's also a pretty helpful path.
Yeah.
I think like the single best piece of advice you can give to a new coiner besides subscribing to Rabbit Hole Recap is to have them download your favorite Nostr app.
Great advice. Before we get to the software.
Well, you skipped an important story. So Alexei Pertsev.
Oh, shit.
Who is one of the Tornado Cash developers.
I did skip that.
There's two Tornado Cash developers, one that's being charged in the United States and one that's being charged in the Netherlands. This is the one that's being charged in the Netherlands. He was released on bail, which is good to see him out of jail, but there was a lot of fake news accounts that made it seem like he was just found not guilty and released. It was like when Ross was freed. And I just want to be very clear here. The fight's still continuing. He's on bail, which is good to see, but he's got a long fight ahead of him.
Yeah. Very important fight. Tornado Cash, Samurai here in the United States. Very important precedent's going to be set there. Keep them on your mind. And now I'm realizing what happened. We talked about Obscura and it's on the list right before the human rights section. And so I skipped three stories, actually. That was the first one. The second one was Trump Media to launch a Bitcoin ETF. Yeah. Not shocking.
But they're also launching like two shitcoin ETFs, I think.
Yeah.
But why is this important? This is important because I think you don't have to trust, you don't have to trust Trump to try to pump the fuck out of Bitcoin. It's just incentives. Like he can make a lot of money if he does. So he likely will.
Dream. Bitcoin dreams here, freaks. We're dreaming. We're dreaming. This is actually an important story. I'm happy you called me out for skipping all these stories. U.S. Customs and Border Protection broadens crackdown on Asian ASICs at the border. This news was broke by the Blockspace media team. Shout out to Will, Colin, and Charlie over there at Blockspace. But what essentially what's happening is miners are trying to bring ASICs, Bitmain predominantly, MicroBTs into the country to plug them in to mine Bitcoin. And there was rumblings of this last year. I believe it actually started last year where people were having equipment seized at the border and basically everything audited and given a fat check of tariffs or a fine. And it seems like that's picking up. And the Blockspace media guys are saying that this is an effect of the tariff regime. It seems like Trump is pretty interested or pretty dead set on levying tariffs on China specifically. And so that will have a material effect on the Bitcoin mining industry here in the United States, as most of the mining company comes from two Chinese companies, Bitmain, MicroBT, and even the third and fourth fiddle are Chinese. So very interesting. Maybe that prevents hash rate growth here in the United States for quite some time.
It also looks like Bloomberg ripped off their story and didn't credit them as a source. So shame on Bloomberg.
Is that surprising?
No, it's the least surprising thing ever, but I felt like it should be mentioned.
Yeah. And I think another important detail of this story is it seems like Trump's okay with Bitmain and MicroBT, Americans using them, but he wants them to manufacture those machines in the United States. And MicroBT does have a manufacturing plant in the United States, and so maybe they're not affected as much by this if you're actually buying from that plant.
It could be tariff related too, right?
I think it is tariff related, but I think it's like we're going to tariff if you're buying from the manufacturer over there.
Yeah.
But if Bitmain and MicroBT spin up plants here in America and do, I bet it'll be some like hand wavy if you actually like you can make the chips over in Taiwan and South Korea, but you have to physically put the boxes together here in the United States. That's probably where he wants it to go.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be watching how this plays out. It's interesting that ASICs are being targeted right now and not like iPhones.
Right. That is a good
point. We'll see.
I didn't think about that. A lot of stuff comes.
Like why do Apple stores just have like no iPhones in them right now?
Right. Interesting.
We'll see. Well, probably because they're one of the most wealthy companies in the world, but we'll see how it all plays out. The other thing, it looks like RFK was just confirmed, which is fucking awesome to see.
Let's go. Aha, baby.
Cautiously optimistic.
Tulsi confirmed this week.
Leadership position.
Tulsi confirmed. RFK, I still think Cash Patel needs to be confirmed. Fact check me on that, freaks. I think so.
If they just take artificial dyes out of everything, that'd be fucking massive.
Yeah, it's poison. I had
high fructose corn syrup. Fuck high fructose corn syrup.
I had Courtney Swan, who's real foodology. She's a health she was like part of the Maha movement on, and she was telling me about studies about the red dye, like how hyperactive it makes kids, and like almost immediately.
I would say on the red dye side, it was a perfect example of market dynamics, though, because a lot of companies without regulation started pulling. Stopped using the red dye.
Wait,
that's so what I heard.
Without that weren't hyper-regulated, just stopped using it?
Yeah, because it was becoming more and more popular belief that red dye is bad for you. So they just stopped including it.
I don't think it's a belief. I think it's
red dye specifically. Okay, whatever. But yeah. My point is how many people believe that fact? How many consumers believe that fact where they stop buying your product? And we started to hit the tipping point. So manufacturers have started removing it without any regulatory requirement.
It's good to see.
Which is good to see. Yeah.
You know what else is good to see? We did business on air last week and people listened. Got the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap. 343, the second American Revolution. The first one comes from Stimmy Yourself with Bitcoin, 50,000 sats. Remember when freaks smashed $50 boost online, throwing around million sat plus UTXOs? Shout out to the ride or dies. You fucking made it this far. Keep moving and drink water. Great advice, Stimmy. At Trevor Agora, 23,000 sats. Get one free beer if you mention Rabbit Hole Recap at the Beaverton, Oregon Bitcoin meetup Thursday, February 27th, 7 p.m. at Godfather's Pizza. I love this trend.
Well, the special free beer for RHR, Ride or Die Freaks.
Yeah, that's when you know you've made it.
Keep it up,
freaks. That's when you know you've made it.
We got a discount code.
Beaverton, Oregon Bitcoin meetup. No link to their meetup page. I guess search it somewhere. Go find Trevor Agora at fountain.fm. Pringle Mac, 22,000 sats. Farewell to Fave Uncle yesterday. Sorry to hear that, Sil. What a celebration of his 81 years. He was one of these gems who gave up his time to teach many much. He taught us to cherish the great outdoors and the freedom found within it. Time is our most powerful currency. Be generous with it for those you love and use it wisely. Love, Sil. Sorry for your loss, Sil. Great advice.
Much love.
Stimmy, coming up twice here. Stimmy Yourself with Bitcoin, 21,000 sats. Shout out to Carlos. You'll love the Compass Mining story arc. Well, inside joke there between Stimmy and Carlos.
No, because Carlos is reading is listening to all the old episodes.
Yeah. There we go. Now I get it. Those were the top four boost.
Thank you, freaks, for your support. We appreciate it. Keeps us coming back week after week.
Really does. What else keeps us coming back? The fact that people are building on Bitcoin, progressing the movement, making tools that make it easier for you to use Bitcoin securely, privately, quickly, easily. And here are the software updates that we're going to cover this week. First comes from ColdCard, the MK4 version 5.4.1 and Q version 1.31 have been released, and these are pretty big releases.
Massive update. Love to see it.
Yeah.
A big thing is upgrades to the trick pin features. I think trick pins, decoy pins, however you want to phrase it, this idea that you can put in a different pin into your cold card that does something different if you're under duress, if someone, you know, has a gun to your head or is pressuring you in some way. Is sneaky one of the best features of Cold Card, and they've added some significant upgrades here, particularly to a mode. One of the big updates is to a mode called Delta Mode, which actually still shows your typical wallet, but the actual transaction won't be a valid transaction, so it cannot be broadcast to the network and confirmed. And so with Delta Mode, they've added a wipe seed capability, so that the seed will actually then wipe afterwards. So the attacker cannot then take your seed. There's many different trick pins available on Cold Card. I advise you experiment with them and see how they can fit in your threat model. Probably don't experiment with them on an actual wallet that you're using, because a lot of them have the feature where it does wipe your seed. And another big upgrade to the trick pins is now with the Cold Card Q, you can actually use it to hold secure notes and passwords. And now the trick pin, if you use one of the wipe seed trick pins, it will also wipe your passwords and your notes, which is something that is a massive upgrade in terms of using it as an offline password manager, to be able to easily wipe those passwords without someone who's looking over your shoulder realizing what's going on. There's also, I like this, I see Logan scrolling on this blog post, but we have the blog post linked. They've made the addresses easier to verify and read by splitting it up 4 characters, which I think is just a nice, easy win. We've seen that UX in other wallets. It's good to see them adopt it.
Yeah. Shout out to the cold card team.
I like Jevy's comment where you can actually use the same key for single sig and multi-sig. So you can have a, if someone forces you to open your hardware, access your hardware, regardless of what device it is, you can have a small amount of Bitcoin in the single sig, but the majority of your Bitcoin in multi-sig. And they wouldn't be aware of that, which is a nice native Bitcoin protocol feature. In general, if your threat model is on the more aggressive side, if you're more concerned about theft or pressure, multi-sig is great for this situation because you just never have all your keys in one place. So you literally cannot move funds even if you want to move funds, which is massive. I think people sleep on that. I don't think multi-sig is for everyone. It does add a level of complexity. But if you're a public figure, if you're running an organization, in these situations, multi-sig is particularly great.
Yeah. Shout out to AnchorWatch too, if you're worried about that. They leverage multi-sig and give you the ability to get insurance on up to $100 million worth of Bitcoin. In case, God forbid, any wrench attack happens or duress attack. Before we get on to the next.
Yeah, with AnchorWatch, someone can actually put a gun to your head and you can send all of your Bitcoin and that is covered under insurance.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They fought very hard to have that factor covered.
Got asked to put a shoe on my head to prove that we're not a deep fake. There we go.
There you go.
The
I was about to call him out for making demands without zapping.
Ah, that guy. Ah, I failed the business.
Yeah, you don't just ignore. I don't read comments that don't have sats attached to them.
Well, we got to read this one from silent.link, 42,000 sats, hashtag brain chip for freedom. Interesting. Tongue in cheek there. I assume.
I think he's talking about Tether's new brain chip.
Oh, yeah. Announced. What was that?
Yeah.
That's very weird. I don't want to get chipped.
No chip.
They announced like a job opening for somebody to lead the brain chip division or something, right?
I don't know. But that's clearly what he's talking about.
Okay. I forgot about that.
SilentLink obviously operates a eSIM service that gives you a privacy-focused eSIM directly to your device so you can have data that you pay for with Bitcoin. Really great service. You can find out more information at silent.link. You know what's going to happen is those of us who choose not to get the brain chip are going to be at a severe disadvantage in society compared to those that do.
Yeah,
People will likely get the brain chip because it'll be more convenient to them.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Anunnaki. There's going to be like an Anunnaki class. I don't worry about my kids.
I don't know what that difference is, but yes.
There's going to be a point like when our kids are teenagers and they're rebellious. They're like, they go get chipped behind our backs and we got to do a good job on making sure that doesn't happen.
Right now it's Elon versus Tether in the brain chip department.
Oh, God.
But yeah, my kids will not be chipped. We'll not get the chip. We'll not eat the bugs.
I don't want to get to, it seems very Mark of the Beastie to me. All right, moving on. I know we got to do a tight rip here. So we'll get through the software update section. Sparrow Wallet version 2.1.2 has been released. Any major updates here? Supports.
I don't know, Sparrow's the best. Sparrow is the best software wallet that exists. Like, you should be using Sparrow. If you're not using Sparrow right now, you should try it out and test it out. Craig Raw is a fucking legend. You can use it with literally any hardware wallet you want. You can use it with multiple hardware wallets and multi-sig. It's just a fantastic piece of open source software. And it seems like this update is mostly a bug fix for something that got added in the last release. But anytime he releases an update, it has to be covered because it's the single best wallet that exists. There's no second best.
I co-sign that message. I use Sparrow Wallet every day. Zeus version 0.10.0 Alpha 1 has been released with channel renewals, Nostr Wallet Connect, and developer tools. This is really cool. If you wanted to use your own self-sovereign wallet for zaps and stuff, that just got made easier.
Yeah, once again, to our earlier commentary on the Primal release, now you can use, if you use the Zeus Alpha, you can use that to zap in Primal. Pretty fucking cool. By the way, I saw a comment that did not include sats, but I love Pablo and I love the freaks. Someone asked, what is the Instagram-like client called for Nostr? It's called OLAS, O-L-A-S.
Spanish for wave.
And what's really cool about that, by the way, is he's implemented something called NIP 60, Nostr Improvement Protocol 60, which is when you load up that when you load up that app for the first time, it creates a new cashew wallet for you that is stored on Nostr relays. So as soon as you use that app, you can receive zaps. Now it's custodial, but it has very strong privacy guarantees. And then if you take your private key, your Nostr private key, and open it up into another app that is NIP 60 capable, your sats go with you. All you have to do is remember your Nostr private key. I'm pretty sure that's where the Nostr ecosystem is going, because that is, from a UX perspective, is amazing that someone can just immediately start receiving zaps, no KYC, and they're off to the races. So out of all the things that OLAS is doing, I know people love Instagram. I've never been a big Instagram guy. Pushing the ball forward on NIP 60 is fucking massive.
Steel, man. My conversation with Lisa Nifty Nay drops tomorrow, and we talked about NIP 60. And she shrieked a little bit about storing Bitcoin in Nostr relays. What's the Look, steel man there?
The answer is pretty simple. The cool part is that if you are a new user, you can receive a zap right away. Without NIP 60, you can't. So if I zap you 1,000 sats and you lose those 1,000 sats, you weren't going to get them to begin with, because I would have tried to zap you 1,000 sats and you wouldn't have had a wallet set up. So I think it's a completely reasonable trade-off, because you literally would not have had the sats otherwise.
That's a good point. I guess there has to be UX around communicating with people like, hey, this is somewhat of a hot wallet.
Basically, it's a complete hot wallet and it's custodial. You want to gracefully move people to more secure setups as they have more Bitcoin.
Yes.
It's the ultimate starter wallet is what it is.
Well, you probably could do this in the eCash Mint. Like if you hit a certain threshold, it says we're not going to let people zap you anymore because we think you have a material amount of Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, because it uses Lightning, you can actually control that. I don't know if we want to go that far, but I think in UX wise, you can push them towards better options.
Yeah. People say there's no building on Bitcoin. Look at all this stuff we're talking about today. AlbiGo version 1.9.0 has been released with push notifications, pay zero amount invoices, and more. Bitcoin Keeper version 2.0.1 has been released with new design, Miniscript integration with Bitbox 2, Code Card, Jade, Ledger, and more. So how are they doing Miniscript with all these? Have they been implemented?
Well, I'm not, I have no idea. I know Code Card, you can only use it on their Edge firmware and it gives you a big scary warning.
Okay.
The Bitcoin Keeper team has been shipping. Ben Kaufman is now lead over there as CTO. And the ride or die freaks remember Ben. Ben was one of our best young developer prospects in Bitcoin before he ventured over to shitcoin land and made a bunch of money auditing their horrible smart contracts. And now he's back building on Bitcoin. So if I can support him, if we can support him by putting his release notes in the show, I will do that. But I will just say, strictly speaking, I have not tested out Bitcoin Keeper recently.
Check it out. Test it out. Aqua Wallet version 0.2.7 has been released with swap and customization options, passcode, and more. Sabi Wallet version 2.5.1 has been released with configurable fee and exchange rate providers, quality of life improvements. Quality of life improvements. LND version 0.8.
That is actually a pretty big Wasabi update, and they just keep trying to remove themselves from the equation and make the actual Wasabi team less important and try and make it a proper sustainable open source project, which is great to see.
The backend coordinator
made it easier to self-host. Yeah, they made it easier to self-host a coordinator in the backend. If you download the Linux package, it has both of those built into it.
Yeah. LND version 0.18.5 beta has been released with bug fixes and improvements. Onto Nostr updates Vertex, a web of trust as a service, has been released for Nostr developers, offering fast and reliable reputation scores to enhance personalized experiences and recommendations while protecting against impersonations and DOS attacks. This is another,
love to see it,
another area where I think Nostr is really going to stand out, is this web of trust.
So I think this was Fran from ZapStore. ZapStore is, was this Fran? Yeah, Fran Zapp and Pipiella. So if you actually... if you go back to the Seattle Dispatch archives, I had a great Web of Trust conversation in Riga for the Nostr conference that I put on the Seattle Dispatch podcast feed with Pip on it. But I like calling it verifiable reputation, this idea that different apps can see verifiable reputation. And the way you can think about that is think about like your Airbnb score or your Uber score. Now, imagine if that was verifiable and open, that any app could use that. And that's what Nostr Web of Trust is. And this takes us one step closer to developers easily integrating it into their own apps. And there was a point that was made by Skylar, huge friend of the show, Skylar, former designer at Fetty, and now he has his own independent design shop. He makes the USA Bitcoin hats. And what's the name of his design shop? It's a good name.
Finitesupply.xyz.
Finite Supply. Yeah, good name. He said that he's bearish on Nostr's social media use case. And I would just reiterate one more time that that's the Nostr equivalent of saying you like blockchain, but you don't like Bitcoin. It is the bootstrapping mechanism for all of this shit. Like we cannot, no one's going to go out of their way to bootstrap a verifiable reputation system or a web of trust system. It just doesn't work. We've seen PGP flail on this in this regard. But people will shitpost and people will engage in social media type UXs. And that's how we bootstrap all this other stuff. That's how we bootstrap Nostr Wallet Connect. That's how we bootstrap DVMs. That's how we bootstrap web of trust. That's how we bootstrap Cashew. That's how we bootstrap P2P Bitcoin usage, I'm pretty sure. Nostr is the largest Bitcoin circular economy in the world. And so you need the social piece. You can't have everything else without the social piece.
So the social piece is the block reward of the Nostr ecosystem. It is what incentivizes.
I think it's like Bitcoin to blockchain is like the perfect example.
Yeah. I like that. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Mr. Odell. Moving on, Coracle version 0.6.0 has been released with NSTART onboarding, note scheduling, OLAS media support.
Hodlbod, if you're out there listening, I know it's a hard grind. Keep pushing, keep shipping. Very grateful that Coracle exists. Coracle is another Nostr app that you can use. You can just take your NSEC, go over and use Coracle. Hodlbod's great.
Last. Not a Nostr update, but a Tails update. Tails version 6.12 has been released with important security fixes. Probably important to upgrade if there's important security fixes. For those who are unaware, Tails is a portable operating system that protects against surveillance and censorship. It's like a USB, or I guess they're USB-C now. They would have to be. Plug it in.
It's maintained by the Tor, the same guys that maintain Tor. It has Tor built in. And yeah, you can run it from a USB drive. It's a privacy focused, they call it amnesic. So it has amnesia operating system. So you run it from a USB drive. When you pull out the USB drive, everything is wiped. So it's the easiest way to privately interact with a computer. And what's cool is it has Electrum built into it. So you can immediately use it with Bitcoin too. It's indirectly a very useful Bitcoin tool. Hopefully one day they will add Sparrow direct integration. That would be awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, with Tails and Tor, like you should be very prudent on the updates because they're very attacked often.
That's it for software updates. Go check out all those. We'll link to all those in the show notes. The last things we have on the list are a couple of events that are coming up later in the year. First is the Bitcoin Policy Summit 2025, which is set to take place on June 25th, 2025 in DC. This is thrown by the Bitcoin Policy Institute.
Definitely. Those guys have been doing really great work. They're very focused on freedom oriented and private usage of Bitcoin. So they've been fucking crushing it. They're led by Grant McCarthy and David Zell. Full disclosure, I'm one of the three founding board members over there, but I'm mostly just a support role for those guys and the fantastic team they built underneath them. But they're looking for ride or dies to participate in this policy summit. This is their annual flagship policy summit. So if you're interested, definitely click that link to apply.
Check it out. And the last event, we have one here at the Bitcoin Commons in Austin, Texas on Friday, March 14th, the Bitcoin Takeover. We're doing it again. Schedule has been made. So check it out. We've got speakers, Dhruv Marks from Open Secrets, Steve Barber from Upstream Data, Becca from Anchor Watch, Parker Bitstein is going to get on the stage, give us an update on what's going on with the Satoshi Nakamoto Institute. We got Chris Alfano from 360 Energy, Mike Schmidt from Brink. It's going to be a hell of a week here in Austin. Bitcoin Takeover is the last event of the week, but Pleb Lab will have their builders, their best builders competition. Lisa and Bitcoin Plus Plus are going to have a hackathon that week. It's a cool hackathon too. What can you build in 2 hours? It's an AI and Bitcoin hackathon. You got to use AI to build a Bitcoin app in 2 hours. It's going to happen here in Austin, Texas. So we're taking over South by Southwest.
Always a great event. It's a great week of events. You should definitely join, particularly if you're in the area. But if you're coming down for South by, definitely join. Always a good time. I think, is this year four or year three?
Definitely year four, maybe year five even.
One of the best events of the year. Very high signal.
In the Pleb Lab, it's top builders, not best builders. Top builders.
Top builder, yeah. Participate in top builder. It's like Shark Tank, but for Bitcoin projects.
Yeah. Come to Austin. Week of March 11th to the 14th. Wanted to keep it tight. Hour and 17 minutes from...
Yeah, I got to bounce. Great rip as always. Keep the Bitcoin dreams alive. Stay optimistic. Keep pushing forward. I love you all. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love, freaks.